that you will rise up in me, that you will remove that ego that I've got, that I want to get rid of, but I still haven't. I ask that you will well up and you will be the teacher here today, teaching these women about your creation. So, Father, I give you this time, and I want to honor you with it, and bless these women with it. Let them learn through it, Father. We ask this in your Son's name. What a difference a day makes. Ba 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 ba. 24 little hours. Shoo ba ba ba. Whoa. Hey, Whitney Houston. Hey, Whitney Houston. Martina McBride, look out. Woman Bible Study Mama is here. Now, we like to laugh and we like to sing silly songs, but this song, What a Difference a Day Makes, 24 little hours, becomes a profound truth when you look at the 6 days of creation. Whenever something is being built, whenever it's being constructed or developed, each day is very significant. And any of you that have built a house know that. You watch for every stage as it starts coming up, and you greet each new stage with excitement because you know that it then sets the stage for the next stage. And we have got to understand that God is no different. We are going to be looking at the stages of development, and He builds upon one stage after another. And we truly do understand this concept. We women that have given birth to a baby, that first stage of development is morning sickness. Now, none of us relish that, but do you know what that stage tells us? That stage tells us that we're really pregnant and that there is development happening. Then the next stage, what a difference a day makes when you hear the heartbeat. You know that that baby is growing stronger and the heart is pulsing. And that means growth is happening, maturity is happening. And what a difference a day makes when you hear that or feel that baby kick. You know that baby's now stronger and bigger. He's pressing up against you. And what a difference a day makes when the water breaks and when the contractions begin. Because you know that there's an end product to all of these stages of being built, of being developed, and that end product, you pray, is a healthy baby. And it's no different if you're a contractor. Every one of us, if we are building something, has an end product in mind, a goal. If you are going to build a home, you want it to be a shelter. Now, many of us today want it to be a show place. But I think the true design of a home was to be a shelter. And it starts out with a hole in the ground. And what a difference a day makes when the foundation goes in. Because a home of shelter will not stand in a storm if it is not built upon a strong foundation. And so you get excited that the hole is gone, and now there is absolutely a strength that will then uphold the shelter that you're going to have. What a difference a day makes when the walls go up. But they've got to be built on the slab, on the foundation, and the wiring, and the plumbing, and the roofing. And then, kind of the non-essentials, if you really think about it, and those that have made the mini mission trip to Mexico know this, that then the painting and the wallpaper and the carpets, all those last stages are really mere blessings to the essential of a shelter that is there to provide for the family. But we have been taught these truths that what is being developed ends up into an end project, has an end goal in mind, and one stage after another is what's setting it up for the beauty that you hope it to be. Now, the Word of God is not much different, because today we are going to be looking at the 6 days, and we are going to be seeing the stages that God Almighty uses, and He is building a world. And yet, He's going to do it stage by stage with an end product in mind. So that's how we are going to be looking at these 6 days today. And we have divided this lesson into just two divisions. We're going to look at the basics of creation, which are verses 3 to 13. And then we're going to look at the blessings of creation, verses 14 to 26. So let's begin. Now God created the world, and every day did make a difference. And you have noticed that man, we have not discussed yet. He was created at the end of this lesson on like 27 and 28, and we've stopped at 26. And that is because man was the last thing God created. So we were his end product, because on the seventh day he rested. He was building everything up, and we were the last stage of his development. So everything was created in stages for you and me. We were the end goal in mind for God Almighty. And God knew that we were his end purpose. And so in his stage making and in his creation, he needed to build stages or the basics that would be conducive to his design for man, for you and me. And we are going to see by studying the first 3 days, which are the basics, and then the second 3 days are the blessings, we are going to see exactly what he was doing, building these stages for you and me. And a basic kind of world where we can live. And not just live, but we can actually thrive. So let's first of all look at the first 3 days, knowing them as our basics. Day one, we covered this a little bit last week. Let there be light. Last week we studied that there was real light on the very first day, and God separated it from darkness. And he called the light good, but he did not call the darkness good. And we need to recognize that whether we believe that this is God's radiance, Jesus Christ being exposed to the world, because we see at the end of the world, Jesus Christ is truly physical light, and he is truly spiritual light. Now, whether you believe that's the first light of this day, or whether you believe it is earthly light, earthly energy, because we learned there were many different kinds of light besides the sun, moon, and stars, the aurora borealis, light waves, the phosphorescence, those nuclear forces that were put off if he started the world in energy and rotating. There were many ways that light could have come. But it says, let there be light, and it was actual physical light. And on that first day, that is what is created. Now, there are many different theories about this light. The proponents of the Big Bang Theory, and that's a theory that is talked about many times in our modern day culture, is they believe that on that first day, when we're talking about it in Scripture, that a huge explosion occurred. And everything splintered off and fractured into light, stars, moon, sun, planets, galaxies. And that is how everything came into being. And they splintered off and ended up lined up in perfect precision, in perfect order, rotating exactly the way they were supposed to do by this one explosion. Now, this explosion, most scholars that believe in this theory say that it was a much stronger explosion than the atomic bomb, which is the splitting of the atom. So this was absolutely magnificent. It shattered everything and then went into perfect order. Now, those opposing the Big Bang Theory, but I don't ever want to expose you to my true feelings, say that the likelihood of this is like there's a huge watch factory. And all the cars are parked there of the employees, and all the trucks are there, and all the precision instruments that go in, the crystal that goes in and fits in for the timing. And all at once, there's a huge explosion. And everything is blown to smithereens, and then it lands, and what it lands into is a perfect Rolex watch that is already ticking and has not lost any accuracy at all. And that what ends up happening with the rest of the debris is it ends up falling into being a brand new Lexus, leather interior, sunroof, and everything else ends up being Apple computers. Everything working in perfect order. And that is truly the Big Bang Theory brought into modern belief, seeing how, whoa. Now, I'll tell you, God can do anything. He could have decided to use a Big Bang. We do not know for sure. We know He created. I think it's harder to believe that He created with just His Word. That His actual Word went forth, His Son, Jesus Christ, representing, went forth, and this whole world came into being. I mean, that's pretty hard to believe, isn't it? That a Word could make up the whole world. But people believe in the Big Bang Theory and don't even question it. I believe with all my heart that God created. Now, whether He did it with the Big Bang is up to Him. But what we learn is that there was an essential, a basic for all of life, and that is light and energy. And we know that through modern science that we could not live without light or energy. That's day one. Day two, verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. And then in verse 8 it says, God called the expanse sky. Now my Bible says expanse. Your Bible might call it a firmament. It depends on the translation you have. But God does call it a sky. And we call it, by scientific terms today, our atmosphere. That is what they are talking about here in day two. And the Hebrew word is ragia, R-A-G-I-A. And it is a wonderful word. It's a root word that means to pound and expand. And there was an illustration in the book I read that gave us an illustration of what this was like. You take something hard like gold, and you beat it down, and so it is so ultra thin that you use it for gold plating. And that is exactly what this meaning really means. It is like a thinned out expansion of something to extend. Stretched out between the waters. Because it said He separated water from water. Now, we know that man must have air to breathe. And he must have moisture. Or he cannot survive. And this separation of an expanse allowed the world to get ready for us to be able to breathe and for us to have moisture that keeps us healthy and strong, because our bodies are made up of mostly water. And so this is already setting up a world with the end product of you and me, because if we were the fish, we wouldn't need the air. But He was making the stages fit for each one of us. Now there is a belief when these waters were divided, come along, table, what are you, number 11, they were asking questions about this, that there was water kept below and there was massive water kept above. And there are many biblical theologians that believe that this is an illustration of the canopy theory, like a canopy. And it is like a layer of vapor throughout the entire sky. And if this theory is true, that this is what it allowed, then this explains some huge mysteries in the Bible. Like, how could men live so long in the early days? We're going to read within the next couple chapters, 500, 600 years, 900 years. How could they have lived? Well, biblical scholars say if this canopy theory is really true, this huge vapor holding back masses of water, this canopy of mist and vapor, think about it. This would have blocked the direct rays of the sun. And we know that rays age our skin, age us, the rays of the sun. This would have brought extreme moisture to the air, which is very conducive to health. It moisturizes. When we go out in the sun, what do? We put on lotion. We add moisture. And so many scholars believe that in this expanse at this time, there was this canopy theory. This also explains the big mystery of where all the massive amount of water came for the great flood. where it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And so in this separation of water, when it speaks about raising water up and having water below, we all kind of get the water below stuff. But we're going, wait a minute. So most scholars feel the probability of this atmosphere that was so perfect for man, which was God's design, included this canopy of water. And so this is kind of exciting to see what probably God did. We don't know for sure. We cannot be dogmatic about this because God doesn't tell us exactly. And as I said, Hebrew is so precise. If he wanted us to know this, then we would have that answer. But this section ends with this line. There was evening and there was morning, the second day. So we have light and energy, we have air to breathe, and we have moisture, which is very important. But it says day. So let's take a sidestep and let's look at what this day really meant. Was it a 24-hour day like I so beautifully sang at the beginning of this time? Or was it a longer stretch of time? I mean, it does seem like there was a lot for God to do in one little 24-hour period. Well, I'm not going to go into much detail because the verdict is out. And there are people that line up on each side of whether it was a 24-hour clock or whether it was a different kind of time. I'm going to give you a couple verses on each side and you can look them up and kind of decide on your own. But those that lean towards an exact 24-hour clock, evening and day, believe that this really represented that. And there was evening and there was morning on the first day, kind of setting up the daytime we know. And yom, Y-O-M, is the Hebrew word for day. And in almost all cases, it does stand for a 24-hour standard time. And yet yom is used in a few verses of Scripture that is open to interpretation that it could be longer. And so that's why scholars do line up on both sides. So we don't want to be too dogmatic on this either. But those that believe that it was a 24-hour clock kind of look at Exodus 20, verse 11, and Exodus 31, verse 17. When you get home, kind of read them. Now, those that line up on a longer period of time tend to believe the verses and open it up for interpretation that I read to you last week. Psalm 90, verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, where it talks about a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, or as 1,000 years is one day. So it leaves it kind of open to interpretation. But I think God could have taken 24 hours. I mean, if we believe that his word spoke forth and things came into being, he could have done it with the blink of his eye as he spoke. He could have done it in 6 seconds. He could have done it in geological ages, where each day was like a geological age in preparation. We don't know. But the key is that God created. And if it was the Big Bang Theory, something had to go bang. There had to be tangible matter. And who created that? It all comes back to God created. Now, how he did it, we're not exactly sure. Let's go on to day 3. God gathered the waters to one place. He had dry ground appear, and the land produced vegetation. God knew that man needed a place to live, and he needed food to eat. Man cannot breathe in water, and the world seemed to be mostly made up of water with this little section of air and moisture for us. So God brought land out of water. And it's interesting that the dry ground produced vegetation, because he said he brought up dry ground. And this lends itself to the theory of the canopy theory, even stronger, is that there was all this moisture, because there was no rain yet, all this moisture that would be very conducive to dry ground and raise up vegetation for man to have. And this was at the stage where he produced vegetation. So, We see that vegetation likewise can live without the sun, moon, and stars. Because the sun, moon, and stars didn't exist until day four. So what we have by the end of day three is we have a world with all the basics. We have light, energy, air, moisture, water, land, and food. So let's draw our first principle, a truth that we want to hold on to with these 3 days. God prepared a world made healthy for man to live. God prepared a world made healthy for man to live. So important that we see that, that God prepared this perfect environment for you and me. Not for the fish, for you and me. Now, I need to ask you, because this is a hard lesson to apply, because you're going, this was in ancient times, and how do you bring it home today when he's just bringing land out of water and that kind of truths that are being taught? Well, let's ask a few questions. Are you building with the basics like God built with? It's what he teaches first, that you've got to have the right basics for thriving in this world. God wanted man exposed to the light and not darkness, and he made that boldly clear in day one. He called it good, and he didn't call the darkness good. How are you building in your life? Are you building in the light, the true light? We learned last week that Jesus Christ is called the light of the world, and when everything else is destroyed at the end of the world, Jesus Christ will be the light to the new heavens and earth. He will be the only light, and the night will not even exist. So, is this a basic that you're building your life with? True light that will enable you to thrive? Or are you building with the wrong basics? Because God wanted man exposed to the light and not darkness. And he made that so clear day one. Are you hiding anything? This will help you know whether you really live in the light. How many of you are truly honest about how you live to your best friends? How many of you are truly honest with your spouse? How many of you know that you have dark, deep secrets in here? Is this an indication of a basic that you are building? That there's something that you're afraid of that you can't bring something to the light. And so you keep it stuffed down in the dark. This is a great indicator if you are truly living with the basic of light. Because I'll tell you, if you don't have that kind of light in your life, a transparency about you, an illumination of what kind of woman you are choosing dark instead of light. Now, next, God separated the waters from waters because he knew we needed air to breathe. Now, what we take in, we would die without taking in air. We could not make it. We see that. As soon as somebody's air is cut off, it doesn't take very long and they are dead. So we are learning from the basics that what we take in to us, we give out. And so I've got to ask you, in the basics of your life, what are you taking in to you? Because what you take in is what you give out. Now, if you are pretending you're light, and you're not, and you have all this darkness within you, you know what? Darkness will come out. And I'll have an illustration at the end that will really bring this home for this whole lesson. But you want to bring in clean, and you want to bring in purity. Because if you are bringing in filth, that is exactly what you will give forth in this world. And it will be a basic about life, building an end product. We are all building an end product that will determine what you are building stage by stage by stage. And this is a church that will allow you to expose your dark. I have learned that firsthand. This is a church that will demand you to walk in light, though. They will not say, oh, stay in the dark, little puppy. They will say, no, you must go towards the light. You have got to. And they will make you stand on your own two feet and move through that, but they will not let you go. You have a safe place to talk about the things that you have hidden for so long. Because I'll tell you, if you are stuffing, then you are not a woman living with an essential in order to be building a good end product. Now, the next thing, he separated. Where is God trying to separate something from you in order to build a thriving atmosphere? How many of us are staying in addictions? How many of us are staying angry and bitter? And it affects us. And it affects the essential of the way we live. We're not thriving. We're barely making it. Because we are holding on to something God once separated. And when we hold on to it, what do? We feel like we're drowning. We're in the deep waters. This is beautiful symbolism, and I think we can over-spiritualize. I don't want to do that. But this is very strong that God wants us to have the basics. And I need to reverse it. He wants us taking in good things, but what kind of woman are you? What are you breathing out in the environment of today? Are you a woman that people really realize when they have been with you that you bring life to them? That you bring light instead of darkness? Or are you toxic and poisonous to the environment with which you live? That you harm, and you're bitter, and you're jealous, and you're manipulative, and you're competitive. I used to compete with my own children. I mean, it's a darkness within us. It's what I was breathing out. You must check yourself to see what basics you have really built upon. This is kind of a sweet little lesson, but it nails us to the wall. And are you on land, or are you on the fluidity of the world? Oh, I believe in this because it's current today. I believe in that. Oh, well, my friends believe in, I'll believe in that. The fluidity, it'll kill you and you will drown. God put us on something solid. Jesus is called the rock. You don't get any more solid than Jesus, and he never changes. So what is solid in your life? Do you have Bible study? Do you have prayer time? Do you have someone that will hold you accountable, that will give you the light when you want to run to the dark? The little crawly creatures, if you pull up a rock, they don't run towards the light. They scurry back to the dark. It's more comfortable there. The light hurts. And I'll tell you, if you have a good friend that'll say, you are moving towards the dark, you have a very good friend. You keep telling her the truth. We have 3 days of basics that are essential to thrive in the world. And we can learn a lot by what God did. But he wanted us to be blessed. He didn't want us to just have the basics. And so he gives us day 4, 5, and 6 in verses 14 to 26. And here we get to see the phenomenal creativity and the artistry of God Almighty. Can you picture the first moment butterflies started floating all over and horses absolutely powering across the land and lions roaring and birds soaring and dolphins leaping in the oceans and everything that made them up, the bottlenose dolphin and the butterfly that has different colors, the majesty of the creativity of God Almighty, and each day something new and wonderful. But they were just blessings. Not essentials. And let's see how that is true. Day 4. We already had light in the world, but he brought more light. The sun, moon, and stars, these are extra light to the original light. And so this is benefit and blessing to mankind. And he even gave us the reason that he brought this extra light. It says to separate, in verses 14 to 15, to separate the day from night. So one reason. To serve as signs to mark seasons, days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth. Now, he didn't want us floundering as he set us in this essential world. Even if you have light, you need directions. And he is so caring. He put extra lights to mark things for us. He wanted us blessed, so he gave us markers to know daytime and nighttime. He gave us seasons and days and weeks to plan work accurately, to plan play accurately, seasons for growing and harvesting, moon to light dark nights, and to bring romance for man. All of these are benefits and not basics, because I see that we had all the basics before, and I think he waited until the fourth day so that we would see that those other things were the essentials, and these were the icing on the cake. Or a better illustration is a convertible top on a convertible. I couldn't use the icing on the cake because I don't like cake. I like the icing. So most people think the cake is the essential and the icing is the blessing. I think it's the reverse. But with a convertible, that convertible can run without a top. That's what you really need. But the convertible top is a real blessing, isn't it? Especially on a hot day, or on a windy day, or on a rainy and snowing day. But you could live in just the bottom of that convertible. It'll take you right where you go. And so this is what God is trying to show us on this fourth day. And I think it's very interesting he did this, because in almost every culture, including ours, the sun, moon, and stars have been worshipped by people. How many of you look at your horoscope every day? How many of you, when you give your birthday, oh, you're a Taurus. Then you're a split personality, and one of you is real talkative, and the other, you know, and oh, you're a Leo. Those are the signs of the stars and the moon and the galaxies. And what we learn here is they are secondary. They are not the full light that we need. They are sublight. They are not needed by God Almighty for man. And what a lesson for us to worship them when we have the light of the world is a mockery to him. Day five, he created the fish and the birds. Now, man could have lived without fish and birds because we were vegetarians to begin with. Man didn't need fish to eat, and man didn't need birds to spread the seeds of plants like they do today, because he could have stirred up the wind and spread all the seeds of the plants. But he wanted to bless man, so he created. He made out of nothing. This is that word bara, which means out of nothing. He made the fish and birds. Now let's stop again for one more moment and see when life began again. We talked about it last week, but there's always so much discussion about this. There's two main beliefs, evolution and creation. Evolution says that life began by chance, initially, like an accidental phenomenon, maybe the Big Bang. All these molecules came together and the first life form began. And then life advanced and progressed on through time, from the simplest form to the very most complex form, and ended up becoming man. Now, there's a couple problems with evolution. There has never, I'm using a superlative word, never been any proof of one species changing to another. Never. In fact, for 60 years, evolutionists have watched with intensity and with charting of every single thing the fruit fly. And the reason they looked at the fruit fly is the fruit fly reproduces so massively, so quickly, that within a 60-year spread, they could see hundreds of thousands of generations reproduced. And so they have watched them very, very carefully. And this is according to Henry Morris, by the way, who is a creationist scientist. And they said at the end of these 60 years, after looking at hundreds of thousands of generations of a fruit fly, that there were variations in the fruit fly, and there were even mutations to that fruit fly. But scientist Francis Hitching, which was one of the men involved, says this about the results. I quote, "Fruit flies refuse to become anything but a fruit fly under any circumstance observed," end of quote. Now, likewise, scientists have experimented with bacteria, one cell. Hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of bacteria have been seen and looked at thousands of generations. And this is what they say about that. Another superlative, never is the word, has bacteria been seen to develop into a multi-celled form. That's one problem. The proof is not there. Now, the second problem I talked about last week was the fossil record. The fossil record they use in their theory to state, well, the fossils show it to be true. But there has never been a complete fossil record that shows a gradual life form changing into another life form and going into an advanced stage. It doesn't exist. Now, creation. If we believe in creation, it takes the Bible literally and believes that this creation is fact and history. Now you go, oh, wait a minute, Pat, you sure give the problems of evolution. But do you give the problems of creation? Well, yes, I do. Because it's hard to believe that God created with his word. And it's hard to believe that he could do it in 24 hours. But where's scientific proof? Well, let me give you a couple instances. Science is given in the Bible, but it's not a science book. But the science that is given in the Bible has been proven to be accurate and 100% correct. I'm going to give you just three examples. But the first one was today. Most scientists believe that this earth began covered in water. And on day two, it said, he separated water from water and put in the sky. That is a scientific belief. Let me give you two others. It says in Job, and I got to look this up so I don't distort it, 26:7, that the earth was round and suspended in space. And Job is one of the oldest books in all the Bible. And for centuries, scientists mocked that. They felt the earth was flat and would fall off. Our earlier discoveries were petrified of this. And yet this was proven to be true. And it said that it was a sphere and it was suspended in space. And then in Psalm 102, it talks about the heaven and earth are like a garment that wears out. And not until the 1800s did the laws of thermodynamics come into existence. And last week I told you how the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, states that the world is wearing out like a garment. So the Bible is not a science book, but the science that is in the Bible is true. And so I bank on what this says for my standard of living. But let's go on. Day 6, verse 24. God made living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals. Do you notice this says according to their kinds? And I even had you count them in your questions. It says it about that fish and birds too. God is stating that he made specific species that are not to change into other kinds of species. He made them according to their own kinds. This alone is a refuting of evolution. But anyway, these animals were not a necessity for us. Because as I said, and we're going to learn this in the next couple weeks, that we were vegetarians to begin with. We didn't eat the fish or the birds or the animals to begin with. And so these were a blessing to us. And he gave them the ability to reproduce. He introduces sex here, setting the stage for the next layer, which is man. And so what he is doing is he is showing us that we have a world not only with the basics, but with unbelievable abundance that we actually don't even need. But he wanted us to have a world that was absolutely wonderful for us. He did not want us to live with a world that was not wonderful. And as he introduces sex here, this reproduction, It shows that he is set in stage, on this stage, that this will not end, that this abundance is going to keep going for all of us. Now, this is our second principle. God is a God who blesses his people. God is a God who blesses his people. He gives them far more than the basics. Do you live like you have a blessed life? Now, we all go, You know what? I think this should nail every one of us. Ouch. Because I cannot tell you how much of my day is griping, complaining, having negative thoughts, going, oh, I wish I had this. And I, you know, we have so much more than the basics. What blessing has God shown you today just driving here? Did you have your dog wag his tail before you left? He is not a basic, is he? He's not an essential. But what a blessing. Or to see your kitten lap up some milk. The sun shine. Not an essential. A gift. It is a phenomenal world that we get to live in. And we walk every day without thanking God for this. What a difference a day makes. I think the difference in every day that we live depends on what you're building. And I'll tell you, many of us in life want to start with the blessings. And we don't have the basics. And I'm going to tell you a story out of my own life. Growing up, I loved my mother. I want you to hear this right. And she has been dead for many years now. But she never once told me she loved me. And she never once hugged me. I never have a memory of that anywhere. And when I grew up, I was very affectionate. I wonder why. Doesn't take a rocket scientist, does it? But I decided when I married, I was going to be a different mother. I was going to hug my babies. I was going to hold them and rock them and tell them I loved them all the time. And our first child came along. And God has a wicked sense of humor because he was exceedingly colicky. And I would walk him for hours. I kept saying to myself, I want him to know how much I love him. I would rock him and tell him, I love you, I love you. And as my kids grew older, I was laying on the floor with them, wrestling and playing. I was an involved mom. I was going to do it different. Well, my oldest went to a therapist one time. And the therapist knew me very well and with my oldest's permission told me that, do you know what your son said? That he didn't have a mom that loved him or rocked him or cradled him. And he didn't have a Kool-Aid mom like all the other kids had. Do you know what I was doing? I was trying to heap blessings when I didn't have the essential. I was giving him my void because I didn't have it filled. And we do it all the time in life, and we wonder why our lives are falling apart, why our families don't have it, and it's because we are trying to create an end product built only on the non-essentials and not on the basics of life. Light of the world, Jesus Christ, the rock, solid land, the breath that really helps us breathe, the Holy Spirit, the Word, true food that really allows you to have an end product that is real. And I learned a great truth that day about my mothering, is God will not be mocked. We give out what we really are. I could go through all the hoops, but I was an empty woman. And I could not give him fullness when I didn't have it. I could go through the motions and I could look like a blessing. But the reality of our lives is what goes forth to other people. If you do not learn anything else but this from this lesson, is that you create the essentials. You don't worry about the blessings. Because if you truly live the essentials of this world, your children will be blessed. You come out of the darkness of your life. I had to tell my children the truth of me, that I was a liar, that I'd slept with men. Although I told them, don't ever sleep with a man. Your mommy was a virgin, and you know what? It's so great. I was a liar, and my kids caught it. You will never give the truth if you keep living in the dark of your life. What a difference a day makes. 24 little hours. But what you build every day could be building an end product that is eternal. But you got to start with the basics. That's right. Dear Father, I ask you to take this lecture and I ask creation of new life. We pretend so much in our family systems. We stuff it down. We are then living in the dark, the very first essential. I ask my King that you would have every woman move forward. With my life, Father, I ask that you will create new life in every woman here. Thank you for not only physical creation, but true spiritual creation. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.